Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, I want to welcome you to the show. But if you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you. I want to let you know that you can find me over in the chat room. You can do that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected to the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that you can watch this if you would rather watch the live stream than listen. You can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So easy enough, I think. Want to say hi to everybody that's heading on into the chat room. I hope that you guys have had a good week. Well, a good weekend, and we're, you know, obviously on to Tuesday, racing into this week. So good things going on. I've got so much to tell you guys about. First and foremost, my big trial has wrapped up. So that's taking a whole lot off of my plate. But as you know, I'm also a true crime podcaster, and I've been covering the Daybell case for the last 8 weeks. And something really unexpected happened on Saturday during, or on Friday, sorry, when, so he was found guilty on all counts on Thursday. So that was 3 counts of first degree murder, 3 counts of conspiracy to commit first degree murder, 1 count of grand theft, and 2 counts of insurance fraud. And then the penalty phase immediately started. So in Idaho, there's, if it's a death penalty case, which this was, once the regular, the fault-finding phase wraps up, they go directly into penalty, partly because the jury becomes sequestered at that time. So initially, they had said they thought penalty would last 1 to 2 weeks. And that's mostly time, that time mostly goes to the defense. They go through what's called mitigation, where they have all of these reports written and experts to come in and talk about the defendant and maybe what their struggles are, what their mental health issues are, what could have driven their decision to commit their crimes. They usually have some character witnesses at that point, if they can find anybody that will say anything nice about them. A lot goes into it. Months and months of fact-finding, report writing, stuff like that, as well as subpoenaing witnesses and getting experts on the line on all of those things. And Chad's attorney had been saying all along that he was going to present mitigation, which everyone presents mitigation. Everyone. It's just what's done. Literally, Chad was pleading for his life here, right? Because the death penalty was on the line. So Friday morning, when court starts, we learned that Chad has just announced that he doesn't want to do mitigation. He's not going to present anything. His attorney was stunned and furious. The defense or the prosecution was stunned. The judge was stunned. He even made Chad say on record that he was making this decision on his own and he felt good about it and he was sure, because it's just not done. So then all that was left were the victim's impact statements, which were amazing, and then jury deliberation. And the jury deliberated for about an hour longer than they did on fact or fault finding. And they sentenced Chad Daybell to 6 counts of the death penalty, plus 15 years on the other stuff. But really, who's counting? So it was pretty shocking that it all wrapped up that way. But I'm relieved. It's been a long haul. And of course, I've still been here and been on the lines and doing my job besides covering this case. But I'm glad it's over. And to be honest, I'm really not a proponent of the death penalty. I think that I think the death penalty across the country should be done away with. I don't think that it serves a good purpose. I don't think that murdering people is, state-sanctioned murder is really the right way to deal with crime and punishment. But that's just my opinion. So I really didn't care if Chad got the death penalty. I still don't care, because Idaho is so slow to execute that he likely will never be executed. He'll probably just die on death row. But it's whatever. But it's over. So Now I'm just thinking back into my real life. And a part of that is getting ready for some fairs. So we have our first fair of the spring, or of the summer. It's a summer solstice fair coming up here in a couple of days. Well, a couple of days. It's coming up on Sunday. And we're super excited about it. So I've actually had the time finally to spend some time in my classroom and get some things made. So I already put a few things in the chat room for you to see. But I'm going to put them here on the live stream as well. I took pictures because I just don't know how well these will show up. I'm going to show them to you too. But one thing I've been wanting to make are glass hearts. They're so pretty. People, they take them and they make like cardboard backing for them, cardboard cards, you know, like cardstock cards that have like an uplifting note or something like that, something encouraging. Doesn't that seem like that's right up my alley? So I finally got a mold and I finally got some hearts into the kiln. I'm just really, really excited about how they turned out. They are so pretty and sweet. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure how well they'll show up with my ring light creating such a glare. Oh, that's not terrible. That's what they look like. So I don't have any of these on Etsy yet, and I don't know if I will. I probably will, but everything I'm creating this week has to be has to be for this fair because I am so far from ready. I'll get there, though. I just know it. I think these little ones with the mushrooms in them are so freaking cute. But I'm just a mushy fan. What can I say? Anyway, so I'm excited. It's fun to get back to the classroom and get some things created and made. And I also have a bunch of new pendants made, but I didn't photograph those. But they turned out pretty cute, too. So anyway, fun to be in the classroom and have a few things to show for myself. I was going to show you a picture of that is a bunch of little bits and pieces that are going into the kiln. This is going into my baby kiln. And that's what they look like pre-fire, and then here they are post-fire. You can see, well, that one flower broke right here, but the rest of them all held up and came out of the kiln nice. So they'll be going in the next batch of hearts, probably, at least some of them. Anyway, I thought that might be fun to show. But the other big freaking news is what's going on with my crows. Yeah, the crows. So there was a few days ago, I was hearing all of this screaming and yelling in the front yard from the crows. And I mean, you've heard crows. When they really go off, my God, it's crazy. You know, they get real rowdy. And they were out front just screaming to beat the frickin' band. And so I went out and took a look, and they had their baby out. She was first in one of my big pine trees hopping around the branches, and they were just yelling their heads off at her. I don't know if this was encouragement or she wasn't doing what they wanted. I kind of thought maybe they were yelling at everybody to stay away. I wasn't really sure. But she eventually ended up in the branches of one of my birch trees or maple trees. I don't know what my trees are, but she ended up in the branches, and I got my first picture of her right here. And then the next day, again, I'm hearing just an absolute riot happening out front. So I go out there to see what's going on, and the baby is sitting, she's standing on the ground in front of that same tree. And a neighbor cat is about 6 feet from her, just hanging out. And of course, the parents are losing their shit, you know. And so I'm like, okay. And this cat, I don't think this cat would have attacked the baby. You know, crows are, they're quite a bit bigger. And I I don't think so. This cat is always in my yard and I've never seen it try and catch a bird, but you don't know, you know, and of course the parents are scared. And so I'm like, I got to get this cat out of here. So I'm trying to move the cat, but this cat is really, really sweet. And every time you walk up to her, she throws herself on her back and starts purring and squirming, you know, and trying to get you to love on her. And I'm trying to make her leave. Anyway, what I managed to do was run the cat right at the baby. I'm a good helper, obviously. And so she took off and flew up onto my roof. And her parents, they were not happy about that decision either, but I think they were happier than her being on the ground with the cat. So here she is up on the roof. And then, so pretty much every day since, we've had a lot more screaming and yelling, a lot more of the baby hanging around the yard, figuring things out. But yesterday I went outside out back to take the pigs a treat, and she was drinking out of the pig's pool, which a lot of the crows always do that, but I've not seen her down there. But yeah, she was drinking out of the pig's pool. And when I came out back, it startled her a little bit and she flew up and landed on the fence post right here. Isn't that fun? She's precious. Yeah. How do I know she's a she? I don't. That's just that feeling I have. And I just think she's amazing. That's all. Isn't that fun? Yeah. So much fun. So I'm just having fun with her. And every time I hear them yelling outside, I have to go out and scope it out, see what's up. Partly because we have magpies coming around doing the same thing with their babies. And so there's kind of a constant back and forth between the crows and the magpies, always hollering at each other. And so I've been watching, keeping a close eye on them too. So, because they come in and eat just as much as the crows do. And I love magpies. And I have magpies that don't leave in the winter. My crows leave in the winter, but the magpies don't. They stay. So they're around a little bit more. She's not so far off from mom and dad. Her feathers aren't as developed. Her tail feathers aren't nearly as developed as mom and dad. Crows actually, I'm confused because in the years I've been feeding crows, I've only ever seen them have one baby at a time. Or at least I think. Maybe I'm the crazy one. To me, they always only bring one baby. So Mars looked it up yesterday because we were curious and read that crows have 4 to 6 babies at a time. But I've only ever had them, I think, have one and bring one around. So maybe it's just, hey, JR, maybe it's just that they're bringing a different baby every time and I'm just an idiot. I don't know. Quilly, you have this mug. This poor mug. This handle has been glued back on 2 times, but I love this mug. Oh, you had 2 cups of coffee in yours today? Well, this is number 2. So yes, I'm with you. My cauldron mug is no more. It broke once a while back and Scott fixed it. And then a couple few days ago, it just got really muffed up in the sink. And I went, this mug is over. So I'm on the hunt for a new cauldron mug. Because that was my favorite mug, and now it does not live. But I got 2 good years out of it. I mean, that's probably the best you can ask for, right? Yeah, Lari's had crows dive bombing her. Running around on her car and really trying to get her attention. Right, Lillian? Damn it. Well, it will be replaced. I know that. I know. It was the coolest mug. And I bought it. I guess I should just go talk to Terry. I bought it at Healing Hands. So I don't think she has them anymore, but maybe she can remember where she got them. Because it was awesome. Yeah, ravens are huge. Ravens, at least the ones we have, we don't have any ravens down here in the valleys, but up like in Yellowstone, they have gazillions of ravens in Yellowstone. And they're like twice the size of the crows. They're huge. And they have blue eyes. And the crows have black eyes. They are so freaking cool. I love them. Yeah. So also this weekend on Sunday, just make one. I know. I don't have the capability of making a mug. I know. Yeah, this is from Pioneer Woman. I know. Just the prettiest stuff. I have another one that's more like reds. Reds and yellows instead of and red inside that I also really like. On Saturday, we went to my sisters and I and Mars drove to Utah to my cousin's memorial. As you know, I had a cousin that went missing last fall that was finally found deceased in his car about 5 weeks ago. And he's yeah, his memorial was Saturday. So that was really nice. They did a great job. He was a rocket scientist, so it makes me laugh because whenever you say it's not rocket science, well, to Paul it was. He was a super cool guy. Super cool guy. It's just very sad. But his wife and kids seem like they're doing all right. And they had months to be prepared for this because it was obvious he was deceased, just not found as of last fall. But it was nice. It was really good to see some family that we haven't seen in a while. And yeah. And while we were there, we did a little bit of shopping, went out to lunch. You can't go clear to Utah and not do something somewhat interesting, right? But it was good. Thank you, Quelly. I have three kilns. Okay. I have three kilns because I'm an idiot. When I first wanted to start doing fused glass, I thought, well, I had posted on my Facebook page that I was looking for a kiln. And one of my Facebook friends messaged me and said that her mother had passed and she had inherited her kiln and she didn't need or want it. And so she sold it to me. And I bought it and brought it home and then realized that it wasn't really the right kiln for what I wanted to do. With glass, there's a ton of settings. Like you heat up to like 400 degrees and hold, and then you heat up to 800 and hold. Then you get to your top number. And depending on what you're doing, that could be anywhere from like 1325 to 1450. And then you hold at that number for a little bit, and then you start dropping and you hold at certain temperatures too. So there's a lot of programming. So you have to have a programmable kiln or just drive yourself crazy doing it. And that didn't have a programmer because I didn't know that because I bought a kiln before I should have. So I actually do have a kiln that is specifically for ceramics. I just don't have any ceramic skills. Right? I just need a friend with clay and a wheel. Oh, my aunt is a professional potter. I should probably just commission her to build me one, huh? That's what I should do. Or maybe commission her to teach me. She teaches classes. Oh, Lillian, you've got my wheels turning. I need to do something with that kiln or sell it because it's dumb that I even have it. And it's big too. It's huge. It's stupid. We'll figure it out one of these days. So I still have plenty of things I need to make for my fair on Sunday. More glass hearts. I wanted to have a really good selection. And then plant stakes that I'm making that are really freaking cute. And then a bunch of garden flags and some spinners and some tumblers. So I've still got my work cut out for me, but I know I can get there. I'm just going to put Mars to work, is what I'm going to do. All righty. Well, let's talk about Luminous. If you subscribe, you have already received it in your inbox. I'm going to put a link in the chat room, then I'll share my screen. Want to say hi to everybody over in the 1-2 Radio chat room as well. Glad to see you guys here. Hey, Rebecca. Okay, and Tiffany, yes, I think I will do some readings today. I can't imagine I wouldn't have time. And so, yeah, I will keep an eye on that for sure. Just sharing my screen here. Okay. Sorry, that took longer than it should have. I'm still 50% brain dead. I don't know what to say. All right. Well, as promised, we're going to carry on with our winged things for this whole month. We actually started last month, but we're right here. So we're going to keep it up. And the reason why is because this time of year, I always come across people who have past loved ones who get very excited about winged things season when they can kind of celebrate birds and butterflies and dragonflies, because a lot of people that have passed come through as a winged thing sometimes to get close to their family, tangibly close to their family. And I know that a lot of you guys have stories about having winged things around you in extraordinary ways. And so I thought this would be a fun time to celebrate those things. So this week we are on hummingbirds. Sid said maybe I could start making cauldron mugs, or maybe my aunt knows someone who would buy your kiln. Maybe on both, right? I think Scott would be a really good potter, but he thinks that I'm constantly giving him more ideas of things he should do. And he's not wrong. I do that. All right. I just love this cover. Scott actually bought me a hummingbird feeder and set it up out front a few weeks ago. I have not seen any hummingbirds come in yet, but we've been really cold. So as we warm up, I'm hoping we'll see more. All right. So I called this week's magazine the Iridescence Edition because, of course, hummingbirds have a lot of iridescent properties in their feathers. And iridescence is an interesting phenomena. But I think what iridescence basically means is that something shifts color depending on what angle you're looking at it, or what level of light you're looking at it at. And so what might look blue here, if I go this far over, might be green or pink or whatever. And I was thinking about that in the sense of just the way we operate and the way we function, that maybe we all need to remember to be a little more iridescent, or iridescence in the way we look at things. Just remembering to look at life from multiple angles so that you can see all of the light and all of the colors and all of the truth and the whole situation. That's where my thought process was. Okay, so let's talk about hummingbirds and spirituality. A lot of cool stuff. So, in general, hummingbirds have been seen as symbols of joy and vitality and carriers of deep spiritual meanings. So the Aztecs associated hummingbirds with the sun god. I'm not even going to try it. I will not pronounce that correctly in any way. We'll just say the sun god, a deity of war and the sun. And hummingbirds were believed to embody the spirits of fallen warriors. Isn't that interesting? The spirits of fallen warriors. Clear back in the time of the Aztecs, they saw their loved ones in winged things. And they were revered for their fierce energy and relentless pursuit of nectar, symbolizing the vitality and persistence required in battle and life. Personally, I don't think I would ever look at a hummingbird and go, yeah, that's a fighter. That's a warrior. And yet again, that's not up to me to decide. But interesting that they saw their fallen warriors in winged thing. Native American tribes looked at hummingbirds as symbols of love, beauty, and harmony. The Hopi and the Zuni saw hummingbirds as messengers between humans and the gods. They thought that their rapid darting movements were seen as a dance of communication with the divine. I thought that was fascinating as well. So hummingbirds were also thought to bring about good luck and positive energy. One time years ago, I was on the phone. I was on a 1-2 listen call. And I was standing at my bedroom window. It was summer. And I was standing in front of my open bedroom window. And as I'm talking to this client, suddenly I am face to face, eye to eye with a hummingbird that was outside of the window, like that just flew right up and was looking at me. And I was so excited. And I told the client, I'm like, oh my God, there's a hummingbird right here, like looking at me. He's got to be here for you. She was so completely unimpressed. It just really cracked me up. I'm like, yep. Okay, fine. Yeah, she was very stuck on her question at hand, and the fact that a hummingbird joined our reading, just she wasn't as excited as me. I'll just tell you that. She was probably like, that lady's a freak. What the hell? Anyway, I thought it was very exciting. In modern times, in more modern spirituality, we see hummingbirds typically as powerful symbols. Adaptability, resilience, the ability to find joy in life's smallest moments. They remind us to savor the sweetness of life, just as they seek out nectar from flowers. They also can symbolize being present and appreciating the here and now, and always are a symbol of beauty and joy. If you see hummingbirds in dreams and meditation, they can be symbols of hope and guidance. Some people believe that seeing a hummingbird might indicate that you're on the right path and should continue to pursue your goals with determination and joy. Joy comes up across multiple platforms when you are looking for spiritual meanings of hummingbirds. And I can see why, because every time I see a hummingbird, I am joyful. It just does something for me. I think that some of you guys can resonate with that too. Cultural representations, of course, you see hummingbirds everywhere in all different kinds of art, jewelry, even on clothing. There's something about hummingbirds that just really do something for people. So if you get them around you, consider hanging out a feeder, as long as you don't have cats that are going to get at them. Make sure that if you put them out, that you use the food that either just make up honey or water and sugar concoction, or that you buy food that is not colored. It used to be that the hummingbird food would always be colored red. And then several years ago, scientists started saying, stop giving them that. It's killing them all. So now the hummingbird food is always clear. You can buy the pre-mixed stuff, or you can mix it yourself. But you can be a part of the solution and feed the hummingbirds. You can buy these hats, bracelets, other jewelry type things that are hummingbird feeders that you, if you have a lot of hummingbirds, that if you hold still enough, you can wear and they'll actually come and eat like from your person. We don't have that many here. That would never work out. But I've seen people on TikTok doing that, and it's crazy. JR said, the older I get, I appreciate the birds more. Oh God, me too. When I was growing up, my mom's stepdad, his name was Jack. Well, his name is Jack. He lived in Las Vegas, and he had worked forever for the BLM out on the desert. And he had brought all kinds of animals home. They had a giant desert tortoise that lived in their house, and every year would mostly lived in their yard, but every winter would hibernate in the bathroom in the corner. There was just a snoozing turtle there, tortoise all the time. They had a roadrunner for a long time and lots of other different like desert birds that he'd brought home that were injured or, you know, whatever. But he always had, he also bred ringneck parakeets. So he'd have the blue ringneck parakeets, and they are so cool. But anyway, my grandma they were divorced for a long time, but they remained really good friends. And it used to crack me up because she'd always say that Jack was a bird brain because he loved birds so much. And the older I get, the more I realize that I too am a bird brain. Yep, I get it. I'm here. Yes. Right, Sid? They finally figured out that red food dye is poison, but they still put it in human food. Yeah. Apparently we can have it. Yeah. Laurie said she also had a hummingbird that flew right in front of her car windshield. You're just turning into a fairy, I think. All these winged things are so drawn to you. So the last thing I included in here was a link, like we did last week, a link for watching. These are Peruvian giant hummingbirds. They are so freaking cool. So when we're done with Luminous, I'll put them on my split screen and we'll watch them while we finish up the show because they are amazing. And then you can go back and watch that later. But all right. In Kelly's Re-Feminist History, she is bringing us a lot about women's suffrage and the fight for equal rights in general, which is amazing. This is something that I studied not too long ago in some other work I was doing, but I was blown away. I did not know that it was clear back in 1875 that that was the first, well, actually not the first, it was the second time in 2 years that there had been challenges to the 14th Amendment in trying to, you know, get women the right to vote. 1870 freaking five. And then, of course, it didn't actually happen clear until the 1920s. But women worked really hard for their right to vote. As women, I hope that we all cannot take that for granted and get ourselves to the ballot box every chance we can. I also am hearing people on the internet currently saying that they don't think that women should have the right to vote. It's shocking and astonishing. And I think, ladies, we have to pay attention to this kind of stuff and this kind of backward talk because we absolutely must preserve our right to vote. That is insanity to me. But I love that she wrote about that this time. This is, it's very timely, I think. So be sure that you read that and really understand the history of women's rights to vote here in the United States because it's a deep well. So thank you, Kelly. I loved it and I'm here for it. All right. My tip this week is prisms. I've said this before. I've said it a lot of times, but I thought maybe it's a good reminder every once in a while. Prisms are a really cool feng shui tip to change the energy in a room. It is pretty cool to hang them up, but you got to hang them outside if you can. If you can put prisms outside, then when the wind blows, and the sun is shining, it just dances rainbows all the way through your space. It's uplifting. It's heartening. From an energetic place, it really breaks up stuck energy and lightens up and brightens up the space. If you have rooms that rarely get any action or that the energy tends to get heavy, like basements, try prisms. It makes a huge difference. And you can buy them on Amazon for not that much and just put them on a little string or ribbon and tack them up. Not that big of a deal. It does not have to be fancy. I mean, you can buy them on spinners and fancy things, but they don't have to be. But prisms make an amazing difference in your space. So if you need some lightening up or good, some good clearing, ongoing clearing, consider that in your office too. Oh, Sherry has them in her bird feeder. Interesting. Or on her bird feeder. That's cool. I have a peacock out next to the crow feeder that has like prisms built into the feathers for the same reason, because I wanted to be sure I had shiny things there to help bring in the crows. Sid said those people need to know that Mexico just elected their first female president, beating out Canada and the U.S. Yes, they did. And she has quite the CV. If you've read her qualifications, holy shit, she is an amazing human. I'm so excited for them. Yeah, they are afraid of our power, Pamela. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Christy brings us her clear your bubble energy exercise. Really good one for clearing out your space when you feel like you're getting heavy, overwhelmed, overloaded with other people's energy. This is a really good one. All right. Well, I mean, obviously lots of true crime squad business going on over there. Luckily, though, shouldn't be another Chad Daybell article for a while. I'm sick to death of him. Anita brings us Archangel Sandal Fawn. And the Jamie Dawn Show, of course. And her special guest was with her daughter, Tatiana. So Jamie's doing some great stuff. Definitely worth a watch. And then, of course, lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation on YouTube to help you work on your meditation practice. 15 minutes a day, guys. That's all you got to give. If you have more, if you want to do more, fine. But 15 minutes a day is really all that it requires. So don't beat yourself up too much. You don't have to completely wear yourself out, but 15 minutes a day, I promise you, will help you feel better in lots of different ways. It just does. All right, I'm going to get our hummingbirds. Not make a good sound. Okay, hold on. One would hope I would have better skills at this point, but somehow. Here. Okay, let me share my screen. Okay. When I was watching this earlier, there was a ton of them. Now they're not, it's not quite as prolific, but hopefully we'll see some come through. Lots of bees. Okay. Yes, Sid. Sid said, I'm impressed that the Mexican president has an environmental science background. It can only help them. Yeah. I wish U.S. could get leaders with serious knowledge and skills. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I saw one come by. Oh, there we go. Yeah. So I don't know how big these hummingbirds are compared to like the little guys I see around here, but supposedly they're giant Peruvian hummingbirds. They're beautiful. Also, just in case you're curious, over on YouTube, there's a bunch of different YouTube lives that are on hummingbird, either feeders or nests. I saw one that was on a nest. You know how tiny hummingbird nests are? They're like this big. They're itty bitty. And their little eggs are just itty, itty bitty. It's wild. They're so sweet. So we'll just watch the hummingbirds while we finish out the show today. All right. I wanted to get to Tiffany's question first because I didn't want to lose it. Okay. She said, if you're doing readings, I am at my new job. Congrats. Hickory, her bunny, had a tooth pulled in April and got a tooth, nasal, and eye infection. Oh, damn it. And completed 28 days of antibiotics. Last week, the vet took her off everything and is giving her until tomorrow to see if we can go without giving her the next higher level of medication. Oh, it would be daily shots of penicillin. Oh, my goodness. Does it feel like she can continue to heal on her own or does she need intervention? The bacteria is similar to shingles in humans. Oh, poor baby. It activates when a rabbit is stressed. It does not have to be completely gone from her system, just not overly active. My gut feeling, Tiffany, is she's going to let her keep healing on her own and check her again here in a little bit. I do think you've got a good vet, though, as far as an abundance of caution here. you know, and making sure that everything is as good as it can be. But I suspect she's going to say we can go ahead and just keep watching her. Poor Hickory, darn it. I'm sorry to hear that. And congrats on the new job. Okay. I think I need to refresh. Oh, Mary said that her friend Val, who has passed, always seems to come to me as a dragonfly, which she loved. I love that. We also have lots of hummingbirds. My husband has to add food every 2 to 3 days. Oh, that's awesome. I don't have them like that. I wish I did. Oh, my goodness. Renee shared a video. Renee, did you take that? Of a hummingbird. That's amazing. They're so cool. Mark Husson gets them on his patio and on his deck. He used to take a ton of pictures of them. They're amazing. Very cool. Okay. Rebecca said, if you have time, I was wondering if you have a message about my housemate. I want to move out soon, but I feel like he is pretty mentally and emotionally abusive. Ironically, I met him in 12-step Al-Anon. Ah, dang it. Well, let's feel into that. Yeah, I don't really see it changing, Rebecca. I think that moving out probably is your best option. In the meantime, make sure that you've got plenty of out-of-the-home hobbies and that you're not relying on him for anything, so that you can keep yourself as detached and energetically detached from him as you can. But I'm sorry, that sucks. You do not deserve that. Okay, Joni needs a card pull. She said, whatever you would consider, as I'm awaiting an income stream. Okay, then. It's a hard one, Joni. I don't know if it's a hard one. It's an interesting one with you because I feel like you could do a lot of things. Like you could have a job tomorrow if it was just about a job. But I know you want something that is also spiritually fulfilling and makes you feel like you're making a difference and obviously pays you what you're worth. And, you know, that narrows the field a little or a lot maybe. But I understand what you're holding out for too. Okay. The first card is patience and planning, which tells me that we're still a little ways out here. I don't think you're terribly far out. I would highly recommend, if you haven't already, that you really network well with friends and maybe Facebook friends, but with people that you know that are in industries that you're interested in. I keep feeling like you're going to get offered a job, not even something that you apply for, but just through people that you know that go, hey, you'd be a great fit for this. The other card I pulled too, I'm not sure why I just did. The other card though I think is important, and it's the temptation card. And that card is, it's always a warning, you know, that you don't get tempted to... don't get too tempted to get frustrated. But I think more than that, it's don't get tempted to take something that doesn't check your boxes. I feel like if you do that, you'll run yourself out of time to keep looking for the thing that you really want. And I know you're probably, you know, feeling the pinch and needing to get some income going. But at the same time, I feel like you've done it before. You've taken jobs that you didn't really want and then got very stuck there for a long time. So there is a little warning there about not doing that this time. Hey, Kelly. Okay, gonna jump over to the other chat room here. Okay. Sheila would love any advice or guidance regarding getting more clients this month for hypnosis and soul coaching. I feel good about all of this. One thing that comes up for me, actually for you, is considering some introductory rates or sample sessions of some sort. Sheila, I felt for a while now that the work that you're doing is so important. And when people really start figuring that out, they're going to really start responding to you and coming to you in droves. And I have also felt like just getting a lot of word of mouth going would be the thing that would make the most difference for you. So on that note, it does come forward for me again that perhaps you seek out a way to offer something introductory or an introductory session so that you can, you know, it doesn't have to be free, but is very low priced so that people can get a taste of what you're doing. That I think helps. The other thing that's coming up for me is that you center some marketing around what you know people are going through. For example, people currently are obviously seeking out abundance, but we see a lot of people dealing with stress and anxiety. And if you can cater your services or tailor your services to that stress and anxiety piece, I feel like that's going to help you as well. That's what a lot of people are asking for right now. And so, and with hypnosis especially, that could be some helpful work for people who need it. So that's what comes up for me for you. And I'm going to hold space with you that clients really start funneling in for you this month. I want to see that for you too. Sherry would love a card pulled. Yeah, the hummingbird eggs are tiny. They're like jelly bean size, Sid, right? The babies are so tiny. It's hard to believe they're real. I know. This stream is kind of a bummer. When I looked at it earlier, this thing was absolutely teeming with all different colors of hummingbirds. So apparently that was the time to watch. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Facebook and Instagram is still helpful. Yeah. If you don't have a TikTok yet, you might consider TikTok. TikTok is a really good way to be able to just do short explanatory videos or talk on specific topics like, you know, like how hypnosis can help a certain issue or whatnot. And those things could help. Keith, I promise I will get to you. Yes, you may. All right, Sherry Mo. The card is light. I love this card. This is my favorite card in this deck. This card always indicates to me that we are looking into some really good times. Some happiness, some lightness. I feel like June is a really good month for you, actually, socially. And a month where you have some contentedness that you maybe haven't had in a while. But it really comes forward for me that June is a month where you really start feeling like yourself in ways that you haven't for a while. And a lot of it, I think, comes through fun. Like relaxing, fun, easy stuff. Okay, Keith, you are next. Actually, before I pull your cards, is there anything specific you want to know, or you just wanted a few cards to see what they had to say for you? You're welcome, Sherry. Okay. Well, on that front, then, I'm just going to throw you three cards. So we can get a good sense of maybe what you are needing to know. We're finally getting a few takers over here at the feeder. I think my problem is probably that I live too close to a highway. And so maybe we just don't get that many hummingbirds right here. Okay, Keith, the first card that I pulled is the heartache and loss card, which sometimes means you have a current loss. Sometimes it just means that you've got some grief coming up. I do feel like your life might be in flux and there's some changes, not even like coming at you that have already come at you that you're still kind of grappling with. So that heartache and loss card, oh, dad, got it. Okay. That heartache and loss card typically tells me that there is grief afoot. So yeah. So something to continue to work on. And when you're dealing with heartache and loss or with grief in general, to me, it is really helpful to do things that help honor that person. So if we're talking about your dad, you know, doing some things that he liked, drinking his drink, making his food, going to places that you know that he loved. Because a lot of times people that have passed, they experience life through you in a lot of ways. The second card is a positive movement forward card, which tells me that maybe this is something that you're dealing with right now, but it continues to get better and move on. The positive movement forward card actually, I think in a few ways is better. I see you throughout this summer actually having pretty good growth in relationships too. So this is good. And then that last card, which again, I was just asking to see, like, what do we need to know right now? What are the things that we need to continue to deal with? And it's emotional loss. So again, and that's wild because this deck has two cards that deal with loss and you pulled them both, which again tells me your life is in flux. There's been changes afoot and now we're just grappling with those changes. So a lot of love for you. Is your dad around you? You want to give me his first name? Just checking out the chat really quick. That's what I thought, Victoria. Yes. Okay. I'm going to move on, but if you want to give me his first name, Keith, I will tune into him for you as well. Okay. Pamela says, can you tell me what's going on with my job? Ooh, there is some change afoot at your job, Pamela. I don't know if they've announced it yet or you're just feeling it yet, but I do feel like there's some change happening there that I think it'll affect other people there more than it affects you, in the sense that you'll come out of it with a job. But I also feel like your job duties may change yet again. And there's some pretty good frustration there, I think, on your part and the part of others. But that's what I see going on with your job, is some shifts and changes happening that might not be very comfortable. Oh. JR needs a health scan. Mostly teeth still have some issues. Oh, babe. I know you've had a ton of dental this last year. I'm not sure if a resolution that I'm satisfied with has happened. Okay, let's look into you. Not 100%. I feel like you're mostly there, but it's, believe it or not, worth getting those teeth looked at one more time. I feel like you're close to it and that the resolution might be actually simpler than you think, but I'm with you that I don't think you're actually there yet. Okay. All right, Keith, I'm going to get back down to you, but I'm going to do one more question up here first, and then I'll get back to you and we'll talk to Dad. I don't know how I missed. I know there's a question here. I just cannot seem to see it. It was Victoria and it was job changes. Okay, that's good enough. All right. I had to rely on this memory. That's a terrible, terrible plan. All right. I don't know if you really even need a card, Victoria. We just need to take a look. Yeah, big job changes. No, this is good. This is good. I think that you're a few months out from being fully settled or having all the changes in hand. Like, this looks like fall to me. But I feel like you're going to end up in a way better spot than you even thought that you could. And, or at least once the dust settles. And maybe it's just the dust doesn't totally settle till fall. But I have this great image of you kind of just laughing to yourself going, how the hell did this all happen? Like, it's good changes and changes that I don't think that you anticipated really could even be on tap for you. So I love it. My goodness. More? This is the second troll today. Right? Pamela wants Victoria's job changes, right? Because hers are good. Hold on. I'm going to have to get rid of the troll here real quick. Why does this happen? Oh, seriously. Third one. Okay, now you have to be blocked. Good lordy. Let me delete their comments. This only happens on Facebook. I don't know where these people come from. All right, Keith, let's get into it. Oh, he lost a next door neighbor. I am sorry, boy. You have had some loss. You've had some shit. I'm sorry. It sucks. All right, let's tune into Dad. He's around. He doesn't have a ton to say. Like, I feel him come in on your left side, sorry. And he's pretty stoic. I mean, in a loving way, this isn't like being standoffish. She's just pretty quiet. He says he's not one to give advice unless asked for it. And I said, well, that's what we're doing here. He said he's proud of you. He said life has dealt you a lot of blows. And he is proud of the way you treat other people and the way you keep going. Particularly, he said you're kind. And that's something that he really honors. Keith, I would just keep talking to him. I feel like he has plenty of wisdom to offer if he decides to give it. But he's mostly pretty willing to just let you do it your way. And that's smart. That's the way it should be. I mean, truly. But he is around. So I guess that's the answer. Is your dad around? Yeah, he is. Looks like we got a few more takers at the feeder. Look at that. Okay, let me jump in the other chat room. If I missed anybody, be sure to drop a comment now because we're just about done. But I'll grab the other chat room and see if there's anything I can get there quickly. Oh, Joni, you're so welcome. My honor. Kelly needs a card. Okay. I'm going to run us clear out of time. This will probably be all we have time for. Ooh, the card is the transformation card. I love this card in this deck. She's a butterfly. Of course. What else do we see as transformation, right? Lots of things, but a butterfly. Kelly, that really tells me that, and I think this has been true for you for a little while, that you've been a little uncomfortable in your skin and just trying to figure out like what you really believe. And I don't know, I feel like it's an uncomfortable spot where you're like, you feel like you're supposed to be creating something. You're supposed to be making something happen in your life, but you haven't quite gotten yourself there yet. I think this summer we'll figure out some of those things for you. The things that come up for me for you are spending time outside, spending time in meditation, and spending time by yourself so that you have the space to really get clear about what it is that you're doing and what you want. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have done it. We have talked down to the end of the show. So I want to thank you guys all so much for being here. And I want to let you know, of course, that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And you can find me over there literally every day. If you go to 12listen, that's number 12listen.com. And I'm not there just do a callback request, and then I get a text that lets me know that you're waiting on me, and I'll get signed right back in for you. So, but I'm typically there. But again, thanks so much for being here. Next week will be yet another bird. I'm not sure which one yet, but we'll see who comes through this week. And of course, don't forget, not next week, but I believe the next will be my birthday show, my birthday giveaway show. So be sure you're there for that, because I'm sure I'm going to be sending out some fun stuff, some glass hearts, now that I'm figuring that out, and some other cool stuff. So thanks again for being here, you guys. Please take good care of yourselves. You deserve it. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.